tell you right now, I'm going to trick you, so just be aware. I'm going to ask you three questions. First question, how many of you have ever said, wow, look at all these new people. I would love to get to know these people. Anybody in here ever said to themselves, wow, look at all the new people in the church, and I'd really like to get to know them? Anybody in here ever done that? Okay, very good. Second question is, how many of you know that we have greeters in our church? We do. How many of you know that the greeters that have been greeting to have been doing it for decades, literally? They have, and they do a tremendous job. However, we need help. And that's why I'm here. There's a sign-up sheet out on the table outside, and we want to expand our greeter pool tremendously. We'd really like to see whole families sign up and have a family out here between the services greeting people and for other things. So, if you're the person who likes to say what they should do, this is the trick. If you can finish that sentence, then your job is to sign up to be a greeter. There's a famous song these young people have out that they say now, where the song says something like, we need to do something. And then God in the song answers back and he says, I did. I created you. So if you want to fix this and help these people, the Joy Cranfields of the world, who have done this for decades and do a tremendous job, go out there and put your name and your family's name on that greeter list, and we'll put you to work. Thank you.
Amen. And we're also going to have a family on Sunday mornings to do the same thing. So Pastor Jimmy is going to have his family this morning come up.
Morning. Morning. Mike can prepare my notes for me. In case I forgot their names or something, I don't know. Or ages. My name's Jimmy Kasdorf. I'm one of the four pastors here, so we just want to introduce ourselves. This is my wife, Micah, and this is my son, Caleb, and my daughter, Addie. So Micah's from Roane County, and she works for Jackson County Schools. Addie is at Fair Plains. She's in fourth grade. She's 10 years old, and she likes to do karate, and she just started, and she loves it, and she's got a lamb at 4-H that she does at the fair. She loves that also, and she loves to read, so she's always reading. This is Caleb. Caleb is 7, and he's in first grade at Fair Plains, and he likes football, baseball, and basketball. He likes doing all that stuff. He's always got a ball in his hand. And I work for the state. I work as a sanitarian. Most people don't know what that is. It's just a glorified name for a health inspector. So I work for the state as a health inspector, and we go around and do things. We've got 11 counties that I kind of work with and help out. So. Did I forget anything? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yes. Yes. I know my girl will give me one more. Little announcements. They'll have an Easter egg hunt over here, and they need eggs and candy to put over an outreach center sometime before Sunday, hopefully Sunday. So rest of it's in the bulletin. So we'll take up offering now. Kip, you say the prayer for the offering, buddy.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me. Death's chilling water, how soon be crossing, but his hand will lead me safe. Oh, then I'll join that chorus in that great city and sing up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior! Hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me.
Anybody got a testimony before we let these young kids loose? Bless you, Jamie. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Y'all don't know who Jordan is? He's right here. Amen. That's Kip. Amen. All right, Jennifer.
For you guys this morning. The first song, we have some awesome accompaniment. Elizabeth on the ukulele, Taylor on the violin, and Box Drum by Jordan. So the second one, we have three soloists. So Ethan, Jaylee, and Taylor will be singing on the second one. So I know they'll be a blessing to you.
Thank you. Till Thursday, but the lady who did my CT scan said, now if you're part of our patient portal thing, you can see the results. Well, I wish she never told me that, because I tried to see the results before my doctor talked to me. I couldn't see anything on Wednesday, but Thursday morning, I pulled it up and there was this thing. It said no abnormal or something like that, and then the exact same thing said normal, and I tried to get into it to see what it was, because it kind of worried me a little bit, and I couldn't figure it out. I'm not smart enough, so I couldn't figure it out. Finally, I just said, well, I'm just going to let the doctor tell me. We got to the doctor, and I wasn't happy with my doctor's visit. It was a good visit, but I saw not my doctor. I saw one of his other associates, and I'm old and set in my ways, and I want to see who I want to see. But he goes, you know, it's just going to be a quick visit. Everything's clear. So I want to praise the Lord that everything's clear.
Yeah. Yes.
Another 6 months, we're good to go.
Yes.
But if that fear tried to jump on me because I was reading something I couldn't understand, and the devil's like, well, you know, something ain't right here. God's saying, I got it.
Yep.
The devil's saying, it ain't right, but God says, I got it. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
So I'm glad that I serve a God that when I don't understand it, he still has it.
Yeah.
He's got her under control. Everything's good. Another 6 months, we'll go back and get another one, and it's going to be all clear. I'm glad to serve a God who understands everything.
Amen.
I don't have to. I just let him take care of it. And I want to praise him for another all clear, another him understanding, another him taking care of me.
Amen.
I want to thank God for giving me a teacher with competition. It's not every day you get a teacher that is a Christian. He's a good Christian man, so he's they're always backing me up on what I do and everything, and it's nice to have somebody who knows what they're talking about. And but I want to praise the Lord for that, because I was going into this competition and I was real nervous, because we had talked about some of the stuff, and I was like, I know there's going to be people that are going to be there, adults that were going to be there that had been doing field work for 6 months or so, and I'm only doing classroom work, and so it was going to be a little bit, I felt that I was kind of going to be outnumbered there. But then I got there, and it was just kind of like peace, and the whole time I was at a peace about it. I wasn't nervous about anything. I was just focused on the task, and I just want to thank the Lord for being able to help me do that.
joy of sin regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it.
We don't say a lot of times.
We go home today and we say our prayers. We need to thank God for what we got here at Gold Town Church. We're blessed. Hey, Trent, but let me tell you something. If it wasn't hard, they'd have people like me out there doing doctrine. And I don't think they want that, buddy. There's a reason it's hard. There's a reason it's hard. Right? Amen. Come on, sister.
Thank God just for being there through everything for me. And this next song that I'm going to sing is just about how through everything God's there, and he's the only thing that's truly going to satisfy you in life. I just know I see so many people at school and out in the world that they're just searching for something, and they know there's something missing, but they don't know how to find it. So. Let's turn it over. Thank you. and all my traveling has brought me to your fountain. And all I want is to come and drink my fill. Yes, all I want is to come and drink my fill. My heart, your throne. This life belongs to you and you alone. Let there be no divide, 'cause only you make my soul satisfied.
Nothing else? Pastor Jimmy, you come up. Luke Nunda, you pray for him as he comes up.
Good morning. Good morning. Wonderful singing this morning. They're always a blessing to us. They remind us of the things that we're doing right here and the things that they're doing right in their lives, which are difficult. Their lives are difficult with school and things that they go through these days. And they know who to turn to, and that's what's important. They sang about him this morning, and we're uplifted by that. We're uplifted. It's a great place to be this morning. If I look older, I'm a little bit older. Turned 35 yesterday. Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about getting an elevator. Can we get an elevator up here? Oh. pastor. I was like, I don't even want to hear it. I had a blessed day yesterday. Spent it with family, and we're glad to be here. And another wonderful day in His house. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to John. Let's turn to John, the Gospel of John. You know, as a history teacher, well, I was a history teacher. As someone who loves history, as someone who likes to do genealogy, likes to learn about the Civil War, likes to learn about all these things that happened throughout history. One thing that's important to people who research things are primary sources. And if you're a teacher or teach English or history, Stacy knows what I'm talking about. You want to go to the primary sources because those are the earliest. So I looked up the definition of primary. Primary says earliest in time or order. The earliest in time. And then source. When we're talking about research, it says this: a book or document used to provide evidence. So in other words, when we talk about a primary source, we talk about the earliest book or the earliest document that documents something. And I thought about that. Another definition of source is a place, person, or thing from which something comes. And I thought about that, and I want to go into God's Word, which is the earliest Word that came in, from which something came. God's Word is the earliest. This is what it says in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, there's something strange about that word there. It's capitalized. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And I want to go on down to verse 14, because the rest of that in there, it talks about the light. Right now, we want to talk about the Word, and which are the same, one and the same. And it goes in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we haven't got into any names yet, any specific names that the author is talking about. What he's saying right now is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things that were made by Him. But it hasn't specifically identified who they're talking about. But we do know that it was a primary source, because, as I said, source or primary means earliest. So you can't get any earlier than in the beginning. That's as far as you can go. But let's go on with verse 15. Now we're going to start with some specific names. It says, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. So John has given us some clues. He's saying that He's not the Word, but he's saying that the Word is coming after Him, but was also before Him. So we're getting a picture of who the Word is. And John, and it continues and says, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but we're not talking about the law right now. And it goes on and says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so there, for the first time, we hear in this specific gospel, we hear who He is referring to when He says the Word. And He is referring to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word was from the beginning, and the Word was the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And you say, well, how do all these things happen? I listened to evangelist Adrian Rogers the other day, and I was listening to him explain about how we believe in a triune God. See, it kind of confuses people. The triune God, we believe in one God. We don't believe in multiple gods.
We believe in one God. In fact, sometimes we say it wrong when we say the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. We need to be saying God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because they're all God, three forms in one. And so I was listening. It's so interesting to hear him talk about how we serve a triune God. We serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we hear this from the earliest. It's not just in the New Testament that we hear this. You go all the way back to the beginning, the very first chapter. And what does it say? It says, let us create man in our image. And it says, and man was created in their image. And it also, you go back to the very first verse, and it says, or the second verse, and it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And so we know, and Spirit there is capitalized. So we know that God, three in one. Now, it's hard to understand sometimes. I'll talk about this a little bit. I went into the young classroom back there, Brenda's class. We did a little lesson on the Holy Spirit, and I kind of put it together for them using water. And we had three different forms of water in there. We had a bottle of water, and we had some ice, and we had a humidifier that put out a mist. And I tried to explain to them that all of those three things are one and the same. Now, I could pick up the ice, but you can't reach in and pick up water like that. And you can't reach and you can't pick up the mist. They have some different properties, but when you break it down, they're all the same thing, exactly the same. And so God, in his different forms, is still God. He is all of these in one. And yet he is still God. And just like with water, water is all throughout this world. Water is everywhere. Water is within us. We don't even think about it. And God's Spirit and God's Word is everywhere throughout the world. The whole world is made up of all of God's Word. And it's in everything that we do and everything that we see. In his Spirit. And so we serve God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But primary sources, this was John saying that Jesus is the Word, and Jesus was there in the beginning, and his Word is the beginning. Revelation 19:13 says this, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And that's also talking about Jesus. And so in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, the communication, the Word was the communication of God to humanity. And God would use prophets to tell us his Word. The prophets that we read about would tell us what God wanted us to know. And that was the Old Testament. But the New Testament, as John tells us, the Word was made flesh. And the Word dwelt among us. No longer was there someone to tell us what God was saying. God himself was here telling us what he wanted us to hear. And doing what he wanted us to see. And being who he wanted us to know that he was. He was, and he is, and he always will be, the Word of God. And so Jesus is the personification of the written and spoken Word. And so I want to go back to primary sources, because our primary source of what we know about God is his Word. And so you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and you go all the way back to the first man and the first woman. And who was their primary source for knowing God? They didn't have a Bible there in front of them. After all, the Bible would just have what? One chat or a couple verses? Because they were the ones in the beginning. And so, where did they get their Word from God? They didn't have church. But the Word was with them, and God was there, and he dwelt with them, and he spoke with them. And what did God say to them? What did the Word say to them in the garden? What did God say? He said, you can eat of any of these trees, you can eat of any of these, you know, any of this garden, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wasn't that God's Word? Wasn't that what he said in the beginning? Not a whole lot, a lot of words spoken by you guys this morning. Amen? And so, God's Word to them was his directive that they should not eat. But guess what? Somebody else came along, and guess what he had to say? Some other words, didn't he? And you know what he said to them? What he said to Eve, he said, you know, God has said you shall die, but you shall not surely die. And so what we have is we have somebody coming in. And Eve, what did she do? She listened to what he had to say. And she ignored the primary source. The primary source said, ye shall not. And the secondary source came in and said, I know that said that you shall not, but you can and you should. And so from the very beginning, Satan has been after us to get us away from the primary word of God. From the very beginning, he has been. Now, they didn't have friends that were there to trick them, but Satan went to them himself. And they didn't have friends there to teach them the word of God, but God was there himself. And so they had the primary source, and they ignored the primary source. And what do we do today? We do the same thing in our lives. We ignore the primary source sometimes because we like what else is there to be said. And so from the very beginning, we were ignoring the word of God to benefit ourselves. Because, you know, that fruit just looked really good. And that fruit looked like something that would maybe bring nourishment to them. That fruit looked like it was something. You ever see something when you're hungry? Anybody on a diet that's going without sweets and then you see like a cupcake or something? It looks pretty good. I believe that fruit was probably one of the best looking fruits. I mean, that just makes sense. Isn't that the nature of how we work? Isn't that the nature of how Satan works? I believe it was probably a very tempting, a very good looking fruit that looked like it was something that they needed at that time. But God said no, and somebody else came along and said yes. And isn't that's the same that we do today? We need to stick with our primary source, which is God's word, and not lean on the words of others, or not lean on our understanding of what his word is sometimes. You know, I was thinking about Jesus when he dwelt among men, and it says he was hated. It says he came into the world, and the world knew him not. Could that be because he was too pure for this world? Could that be that he was just too pure for what this world had become? After all, he had the chief priests and the Pharisees and the scribes that were all after him. And they were supposed to be experts in the word and in the law. But what had happened years after the law had been given to them? What had happened over years? His word had been corrupted. His word had been eroded. His word had been erased from their traditions and the things that they built up to serve themselves. And I was thinking about, you know, Terry Haddix likes to metal detect. And I was thinking about whenever you go out and metal detect and you find a piece of metal that's been in the ground for years and years, and you take it out of the ground, what does it look like? It doesn't look anything like what it did originally. And so sometimes you don't even recognize what it is because there's corrosion on it. There's stuff that has built up on it. And it's actually become a little bit bigger than what it was because of the oxidation and things like that, the rust that gets on it. And so you have to clear away a lot of that stuff. Also, there's parts of it that's missing, that the earth and you know, the elements have just eaten away at it so that it's not there anymore. But the bottom line is that if you take something like that and you compare it to what it's supposed to look like, a lot of times you can't even tell what it is. And so by the time Jesus had got here in this world, the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests, they had perverted God's word. And they had built traditions. And they had taken it out of context. And so they had their ways that were serving to them. They were self-serving themselves. And so what you have, is, if you will, is a picture of a corrupted and eroded word of God that they were using. And so it was almost unrecognizable. But a lot of people didn't know the difference. And so what you had is you have Jesus come in, and Jesus was the pure word. And he spoke that which God wanted him to speak. And it was unrecognizable to those that were there because they had been corroded and they had had so much that had gone on. And so they hated the word because it was because they didn't recognize it. They hated God's word because he was so innocent and pure. You know, we talk about children being pure. Jesus was almost, he was like a child in his pureness, except he had the knowledge of God, and he had the knowledge of things as they were. And so they despised that, and they tried to use his words against him, and they tried to trick him into things, and he would use his words to defend himself. But they were coming after him because they had corrupted his word. And he represented what? He represented truth. How about John the Baptist? Do you think they liked John the Baptist? No. Why did they not like John the Baptist? Because he was pure in his worship for God. He was pure. He didn't go through all their hoops. He didn't go through all their traditions. He didn't go through the steps that they wanted him to go through. They didn't like John the Baptist because he spoke from the Word of God. He spoke from his spirit. And he was out in the wilderness where he could communicate and he could get to know what God wanted him to know. He wasn't in their synagogues. He wasn't in their classrooms where they could teach him what they wanted him to say. He was uncorrupted. And therefore, he was a reflection of the Word. Now, John wasn't perfect, because we know that none is perfect except God and Jesus Christ. John wasn't perfect. You know, later in the Scriptures, it says he sent his disciples to go to Jesus and say, "Are you really the Christ?" You remember that? Well, wasn't it John earlier who proclaimed that he was Christ? What that means is maybe he was having some doubts, as people do. John wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect, so he wasn't the personification of God. Only Jesus could be that personification. And Jesus was the Word, and John spoke about Jesus, and he prepared the way for the Word. And it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." What are we trying to say here this morning? This is what we're trying to say, is that if you want to know the truth, go to the primary source. If you want to know the truth of what God has for you in your life, go to the primary source. And don't depend on others to tell you what it is all the time. Now, one good thing about this church, a great thing about this church, is that this church sticks to what this Bible says. If it didn't, we wouldn't be here, because we believe in the Bible. And so we stick to the primary sources. When we teach, we have to back it up with the primary source. When we preach, we have to back it up with the primary source. And that is the Word of God. And if we get away from that, then we're in trouble. Are there people in this world that have gotten away from that? Amen. Are there people in this world that have corrupted His Word? Yes. Are there people in this world who have deceived many, many people by using the Word of God? There are. There are. How do we not get deceived? We go to the primary source, the one that was in the beginning, the one that was there. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved." And then it says, "Rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing what is true and what is not. You see, we have a basic need to know what is true. What is the truth? And we have a need for that, so we have a recognition of truth when we hear it. Now, for some people, it's shocking to hear the truth, and some people want to deny the truth. But ultimately, they know deep down that the truth is what is there. And so it was the same with Christ. He showed up on the scene, unfiltered Word of God, speaking and doing things as He had intended from the beginning. Can you imagine how humiliating it would be, or how condescending it would be to have people tell you your work back to you and tell you you're wrong about it. Can you imagine an author writing something and then somebody coming to him and saying, you know what, you're wrong because in this book it says, well, I'm the one who wrote that book. And this is what it says and this is what it means. Well, Jesus constantly had people that were trying to tell him what he meant and tried to trip him up and tried to come after him because he represented the truth. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful as Christians that we are doing what the Bible says. We need to be careful that we're looking at the primary source and that we're not being corrupted by what the world has to say or what Satan has to say. I want to go now to John 3:16. John 3:16. I could say it from memory, but I want you to know that the primary source, I want you to know that this is what the primary source says. So you can read it yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is what the Word says. And when I say the Word, I mean Jesus. That is what Jesus said. You see how it's in red? Anything in red is definitely a primary source. But he said, for God so loved the world. How did he know that God so loved the world? Because he was there from the beginning. He's speaking from experience. He's not taking the old scriptures and saying, you know what? It's always been told that God so loved the world. No, he's saying, from personal experience, I am God. I know God. We are one. And I know that God loved the world, and I love the world. So when he says that, he's speaking it from himself. That he gave his only begotten Son. How does he know that? Because he is the begotten Son. You think he has authority to say that? Amen, he does. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Where'd he get that from? That's his word. That's what he means. Whosoever believeth in me should not perish, but have everlasting life. How can he give that promise? How can he give that promise? Because he is the Word that was made flesh. And he would be the sacrifice that would make that promise possible. So what are we getting at? The primary source says he loves you. The primary source says that God loves you. The primary source says that he died for you, that you should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what he tells us. That's what the primary source says. Now, what does the Word say? The world say? The world says, well, there's many people that can have everlasting life through other ways. The world says that you believe how you want to believe and you will be free. The world says that you have to look within yourself to find freedom and peace. That's what a lot of things teach, is that if you can just look within yourself. I'm sorry, but if I look within myself, what do I find? Sin. If I look within myself, what do I find? Something that's unworthy to be called a child of God without his blood, without his redeeming blood. You can't just believe yourself into everlasting life. You can't just work your way into everlasting life. You can't just do a bunch of good deeds. You know what you can't do? You can't compare yourself to others to get into everlasting life. You can't say, well, I never murdered anybody, so I'm going to have everlasting life. Or you can't say that I never spent a day in jail, so I'm going to have. All of these things are not truth. They're not the Word. What does the Word say? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the primary source. Romans 10:8. I quote that, but I want to read it because we're going to the primary source. It says this: but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the primary source says. God loved us. He came into this world. The Word came into the world, and the world believed him not. But he came in, and he was pure, and he was the perfect. He lived a perfect life. Talked about this before. He had to live a perfect life to be the perfect sacrifice. And so it wasn't just the act of his death that was so amazing. It wasn't just that he laid down his life. Because people can do that. People can lay down their life trying to save somebody else. But it wasn't enough for him just to lay down his life. It wasn't enough just in those last 24 hours of his death. It wasn't enough just to go through what he went through. What did he have to do leading up from the time of his birth all the way through up to that time? He had to live a blameless life for us. He had to be the personification of the Word and the love of God. He had to be the unblemished sacrifice. And how hard that must have been for him. We know he was tempted. Whenever he was tempted, what did Satan use to tempt Jesus? He tried to use what? The Word. Was he using it the way it was meant to be? No. You say, well, that's cheating. How can he do that? That's what he does. He takes the words. You know what he does? He doesn't make up new things. He takes the truth and he twists it until it's perverted. He twists it until it's not true. He twists it, and he takes God's word, and he takes it out of context. Do people do that today? Yes, they do. Do people do that? They do. They take God's word, and they twist it out of context. And so just because something sounds biblical doesn't mean that that's where it comes from. But Jesus said that he is the word of God, and that he is the primary source of what is true and what is right. How are we supposed to know that? How do we keep from getting deceived? The Bible says that if the blind lead the blind, then they both fall into the pit. How do we know that we're not following the blind? You get into his word. You don't take people's word for it. You get into his word. How do you know if a preacher is a good preacher when they come up with good things to say, when they're a good speaker? No. When they sound very convincing? No, that's not how you know that they're a good preacher. Because they use big words, or because they refer back to the Hebrew, or because they know things from memory. That's not what makes a preacher. What makes a preacher is what? His word compared to the primary source. Hey, listen, if they don't match up, you better run. If they don't match up, it's not that he knows something that you don't know. Hey, listen, this Bible was meant for anybody to understand. He made it easy. What did he say you had to do to be saved? Did he come up with a big long thesis, a master's thesis or a doctoral thesis, and say, this is how you get saved? No, what did he say? You believe in your heart, and you confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. That's not hard to understand, is it? But can it be twisted? Yes, absolutely. Listen, if somebody tells you that if they have to spend a lot of time changing something in here to something else, it's not that they're receiving revelation from God, it's that they're twisting his word. We should be able to understand what God wanted us to understand. Why do you think the fishermen got it? Why do you think the shepherds got it? Why do you think the workmen got it? Why do you think the ones who were his disciples, who were simple everyday men and women, Why do you think they understood it? Because it was simple and because it was the truth. And they weren't corrupted by other things. Listen, the religious people of his day, they hated Christ because he represented the truth. And he represented things that they were not. And he represented things that he was a threat to them. He was a threat to their power. He was a threat to all that they had corrupted up until that point. And so that's why they hated him. That's why they took his life. But the Word loved us, and the Word wanted us to know that he loved us. And he wanted us to know that we could be saved through him and through him alone. That's all we can be. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can be saved. Now, as the singers come up, I'll say this. What else does the Bible say? The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, what? The judgment. That's something that the world doesn't want to hear. They don't want to hear that there's judgment that comes after this life. They want to hear that. What does your primary source say? Absolutely, there's judgment. Absolutely. If there's judgment, there's a judge. Absolutely, we stand before the judge. What else does the Bible say? For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. What's that mean? That sin is punishable by death. That's what it says. But it says the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, the Word, the way, the truth, and the life. This is what I'm getting at. To condense it all down, I don't want to make it too complicated. To condense it all down, you need to understand your Bible. You need to read your Bible. You need to cherish your Bible. You need to know that this is the most important thing physically that you can hold in your hands in this life. This is the most important thing. There's a reason why. It's the most copied and the most, the most copied book in the world, in the history of the world. There's a reason why. It's because human beings have realized their need for God's Word in their life. Because we recognize truth deep down. And that's why this Bible has gone on for many years, and that's why it is the most important Bible. It is the most important book. Because this is the primary source. The Bible starts out that says, in the beginning, okay, all the way back. And then it ends with how things are going to end. And so it has everything we need. Use your primary source so that you know that what you believe and what you're teaching and what you're being told is correct. Because that's what will tell you, and that's what will let you know whether you're following the right things and whether you're doing the right things. And that primary source says this, that God loves you, that Jesus loves you, that he loved you so much that he would send his Son, that Jesus would live a perfect life here in this world, and that he would lay down his life, and that he would rise again 3 days for us, that we could be where he is. And we could spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As they get a song of invitation, I want to know this morning if you have a need, if you need to get back to the primary source, if you need to be saved this morning. We've already talked about it. He made it pretty simple. He did all the work. He just wants us to follow him. One more thing that the Bible says. It says that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. They know when he is speaking. But you have to have a relationship. Can't follow a voice you've never heard before. You have to know that that voice is your Lord and Master. See, Adam and Eve, they knew the voice of the Lord, but they thought they'd listen to another voice for a little while? What do you think they learned from that lesson? Hey, I'm going to listen to him from now on. I'm going to listen to the master, listen to the word, listen to the primary source of all that there is. You know, the word's so important that it says, he said, let there be light. The word is so important that he spoke us into existence. We need to make sure we're depending on this word and that our rock is this word. This morning, if you have a need, we ask you to come to this altar and we'll pray with you. Bless you, Chris.
So I'll stand, turn to page 35. The Savior is waiting.
About meeting with those kids back there is that they listen, they believe on faith. That's what Jesus asks us to do. It's what God asks us to do is believe on faith.
And sometimes
us adults, we let our minds get in the way of that, and we let our doubts get in the way of that. But they take it on faith, and that's what Jesus said. We don't understand all the things that God does. But I asked them this question. I asked them if they had any pets, and they said, yeah, we got. There were some cats, and there were some dogs, and there was even a turtle. And I said, could you take your pet to school? And they said, yeah. And I said, could they do a math test for you? They're like, no. Well, I said, but you can do a math test. They say, yeah, we can do a math test. What I was trying to teach them is that just because that animal doesn't know how to do certain things doesn't mean that it's not possible to do it. God can do things that we don't understand. And that doesn't mean just because we're so arrogant sometimes. We think that just because we can't think it up in our minds that God can't do it. And we think, well, God can't, you know, he can't do that, those things. That's what the world believes. But that's where faith comes in. We know the things that he's done for us. We know the things that our relationship with him. And so we should have enough trust in him just through our experience with him that we trust the things that we do not understand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. What happens if you lean into something unstable? What are you going to do? Fall. our understanding is unstable a lot of times. And so if you lean on it, you're going to fall down. Where are you going to fall? Well, where does the blind lead the blind? We're going to fall in the pit if we don't trust in him. And to know what he needs to know, we need to be in his word. Anything else before we dismiss? Amen. All right. Very good.
Well, there's some people sometimes today the cost is terrible. So I'd like you all to remember that family.
Sure. Sure. Amen. And we do have a board meeting right after
service.
Yes. Couldn't hear her grandson got to go home. He was in an accident and got to go home. We still got some recovery to do, but he did get to go home. We're glad for that.
Anyway, you bring into the word, I thought this is my GPS.
Amen.
God's plan for
life. Amen.
Thanks for doing
that. Hurry in. Come and see 87.